Faye, it's that time of year again. This episode's coming out right after match day, so congratulations to all of you who just matched into the best specialty ever.
Yes, congratulations to all of you who are matched into OBGYN, and we know that sometimes, even after the match, we may be a little bit anxious about starting intern year.
Yes, so for the last several years, Faye and myself, as well as a team of really excellent individuals, have come up with the hashtag OBGYN Intern Challenge residency preparatory curriculum delivered via text message once a day for a month leading up to intern year.
Yes, so if you want to get signed up for the OBGYN Intern Challenge, go to www.obgyninternchallenge.com where you can go ahead and sign up, do our survey, and this will get you set up for our text message course later on in the year.
We'll see you for the curriculum. Faye, it feels really nice to be back and recording podcasts again after parental leave, but you know, even 6 weeks later, I feel like I have missed a whole world of things in OBGYN.
Yeah, me too, especially 9 weeks out. But thankfully for us, we can refresh our memory with the OBG project.
That's right. The OBG project kind of has their great, great summaries and these bullet point formats online. They've got resident exclusive resources, the core curriculum, and they've got a new project in the primary care med project. You can check that out as well, which lets you get up to date with all those primary care guidelines that we got to keep up with too.
And even better, if you're a resident, remember that you can get OBG First absolutely free. So if you want to figure out how to do that, go ahead and go onto our website, click on the sidebar, and link to the OBG project. All right, guys, welcome back. This is Faye.
This is Nick.
And this is
Kriegs over coffee.
All right, guys. So today we are back with another episode on genetics, and we realized that we never actually have spoken about genetics and inheritance patterns. So this is a pretty basic topic that we need to go over. So Nick, what are our learning objectives for today?
Yeah. So number one, we'll understand Mendelian inheritance patterns and single gene disease inheritance. Next, we'll identify other modes of inheritance in genetics, not just the autosomal dominant and recessive. And then finally, we'll begin to learn some of the complexities of epigenetics. But we're going to break this up into a two-part series. So part one today, we're really going to cover single gene disorders and Mendelian inheritance. So start us off, Faye. Like, where I keep saying the name Mendelian inheritance, but what does that come from? And tell us some of the history of how we got here.
Sure. So I think most of us probably know the story of Gregor Mendel, but in case you don't, Gregor Mendel was an Austrian-Czech Augustinian friar and abbot that experimented with pea plants, and this became pretty famous. Essentially, he discovered that when he bred certain pea plants together, when he would breed tall pea plants and tall pea plants together, they would only ever produce tall pea plants. And then when he bred short plants with other short plants, they also only ever produced short plants, which makes a lot of sense. But when he bred tall plants with short plants, these also only ever produced tall plants. And then interestingly, the second generation plants from the tall short plant hybrids actually produced both tall and short plants in a 3-to-1 ratio. And from here, the understanding of autosomal dominant and autosomal recessive genes was discovered. So before we kind of, you know, go into all of this, tell us, Nick, a little bit about what we know now and, you know, what all of what Gregor Mendel did contributed to what we know.
Well, so, you know, if you've listened to the podcasts, I'm sure you've gathered at this point that genetics in humans are much more complicated than those of pea plants. And we've come a long way from just Mendelian genetics. But Mendelian genetics does underlie a lot of our understanding about a lot of common genetic disease. So we're going to start with some basics. We promise no Punnett squares right now. and let's start with just kind of a basic understanding. We should know that certain characteristics in certain human characteristics are coded by genes. And for each gene, each of us has two alleles, essentially the same or an alternative form of a gene that arises by mutation and are found in the same place or locus on a chromosome. Most of us have two of each chromosome, each inherited from our mothers and one from our fathers. So again, two alleles in total, one from mom, one from dad, that sit on the two chromosomes, one from mom, one from dad. Each of these genes can ultimately be dominant or recessive in terms of its inheritance pattern. So dominant entails an interaction between alleles at the same locus on homologous chromosomes and the associated phenotype. In Mendelian genetics, we have complete dominance, where one allele in the heterozygote individual completely overrides the phenotype of the other. So in the P-plane example, it would be the tall overriding the short. Recessive is when the phenotype of one allele is completely masked by another in a heterozygous individual. So again, the short in this case. Autosomal describes gene variants on non-sex chromosomes, also known as the autosomes, and their associated traits. So again, gene variants, non-sex chromosomes, that is autosomal. Then you have X-linked, genes or alleles on the X chromosome, Y-linked, genes or alleles on the Y chromosome. And basically, this is going to establish our basis for what we talk about from here in terms of how we characterize genes or diseases, being autosomal dominant genes, autosomal recessive genes, X-linked dominant genes, X-linked recessive genes, and then Y-linked genes, which can't be dominant or recessive because there's only one Y chromosome in an individual typically. So Faye, let's jump from here in this basic understanding of what dominant, recessive, autosomal means, and how exactly does this apply to inheritance?
Yeah. So the way that I'm going to talk about this is actually on when we look at a pedigree, because this is probably how CREOGS are going to test you on some of these questions. So as most of you know, autosomal dominant genes that have complete dominance will lead to a specific phenotypic trait coded by that gene. So as Nick, you said, the tall plants. And autosomal dominant conditions will appear on a pedigree in every generation. Both male and females can be affected by autosomal dominant diseases or disorders. In a heterozygote with one autosomal dominant allele and one autosomal recessive allele, the heterozygotes will display the autosomal dominant phenotype. So again, tall plant plus short plant, they're only going to get tall plants because all of them are going to be heterozygous and display that autosomal dominant phenotypic trait. However, because the heterozygotes still carry those recessive genes or recessive alleles, they can pass that on to their offspring. And if mated with another heterozygote, they can have offspring that can be homozygous for the autosomal dominant genotype, heterozygous, and homozygous for the autosomal recessive genotype. Basically, that's how Mendel found that, you know, these third generation plants from these heterozygotes could result in both tall and short plants. Now, only those that are homozygous for the autosomal recessive genotype will display the autosomal recessive phenotype. So, for example, the short plants. And on a pedigree, which is what we care about, autosomal recessive conditions can sometimes appear to skip a generation, and they can also seem to result in an affected child from unaffected parents. And again, we will see them in both male and females. So similar things can be said about X-linked traits. However, because females have two X chromosomes, inheritance can sometimes appear similar to autosomal dominant and autosomal recessive traits in females. But because males only have one X chromosome, typically a male with an X-linked recessive or dominant trait will always exhibit that phenotype. And so another thing to remember on a pedigree when you're looking at this is to know that fathers cannot pass X-linked traits to their sons, but they can pass them to their daughters. I know that this is going to be a lot of talking, and so this is sometimes a little bit difficult to envision in your head. So I encourage all of you to test your knowledge with pedigrees, because this is how often CREOGS will test you. And there are some really good free questions at Khan Academy, and we'll post a link on our website. Okay, Nick. So I know that this is very basic in terms of autosomal dominant, recessive, X-linked, etc. And I think most of our listeners probably have already learned this, but let's throw in a twist.
Yeah, so we talk about dominance, and in your, again, Mendelian example, tall, short, right? Tall is completely dominant. But not every dominant gene is completely dominant. So this will be our twist on dominance. There are kind of two terms that get commonly confused, incomplete dominance and codominance, that also exist in this realm. So incomplete dominance we'll start with. This is when the phenotype of the heterozygous genotype is distinct from and intermediate to the phenotypes of the homozygous state. That was a mouthful. So let me try and explain it a different way. So if you have pea plants, and let's say we have now a gene for color of the flowers, you have red flowers as one allele and white flowers as another allele. If you had a heterozygote in an incomplete dominant picture, that would result in offspring with pink flowers if they had one of each gene. Codominance, on the other hand, is when contributions of both alleles are visible in the phenotype and neither allele masks the other. So again, both of them actually come out. It's not a mixing in this case. So the example you might think about are in cows, where you have a white bull that mates with a red cow. Their offspring has both white and red hairs. It doesn't have pink hairs in this case. So again, you can think incomplete dominance is sort of, again, that mixing of things. Whereas codominance, they both are quote-unquote co-dominating, so both the white and the red show up. All right, I think you got another twist for us, Faye.
I do. Okay. So the thing to know is that DNA in the nucleus is not the only DNA that gets passed on from parent to offspring. We also have mitochondrial DNA. And, you know, cue here, I guess, the joke that mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell. But I assume that we all know what mitochondria are. So these mitochondria also contain DNA, and they are passed down only from maternal inheritance, as while we get nuclear DNA from both our parents, mother and father, only the maternal mitochondria are passed down because the mitochondria are what exist within the egg cell, and the sperm actually contain no mitochondria that get passed on. So on a pedigree, only females seem to be able to pass down variants to their children. So in someone who has a mitochondrial DNA disorder, conditions from variants in mitochondrial DNA can appear in every generation of the family. They can affect both males and females. But if we look at males, they will never seem to pass it on to their offspring. And I think that is it now for what we want to talk about in terms of single gene inheritance patterns. So why don't we quickly summarize, Nick?
Yeah, so again, we started out with that story of Gregor Mendel, again, the Austrian Czech friar and abbot that experimented with pea plants. Remember, kind of the takeaway from this is that he was breeding tall plants and short plants together, noted that in the second generation, only tall plants came out, but those were all heterozygotes, and when you bred those second-generation plants together, they produced a third generation that produced tall and short plants in a 3-to-1 ratio of tall to short, the understanding of autosomal dominant and autosomal recessive being discovered. So if you need to think about where does that come from or how does it operationalize or put a Punnett square in your head, that's the Mendel story.
And of course, we know that genetics are much more complicated in humans than that of pea plants. We decided to break this down into some of the terms that we need to know. So we talked about the term dominant in terms of complete dominance. We talked about recessive. We talked about the difference between autosomal genes versus X and Y linked genes.
Remember to kind of cover those terms in terms of what autosomal dominant, autosomal recessive looks like. It can be really helpful to test your knowledge with pedigrees, as this is often how CREAGS will test you. Again, on our website, we've got good free questions, courtesy of the Khan Academy, that you can test out your knowledge on. One twist in this is that not every dominant gene has complete dominance. There's also incomplete dominance, where the phenotype of a heterozygous genotype is distinct from and kind of intermediate to or mixed. So the example of pea plants being red flowers and white flowers is the two sort of autosomal dominant, autosomal recessive alleles in a heterozygote results in pink flowers. Contrast this with codominance, when contributions of those alleles are visible in the phenotype and neither allele masks another, so they both dominate a little bit. So when you have a white bull mating with a red cow, rather than having a pink cow that results, the offspring shows both white hairs and red hairs.
The last twist that we're going to throw at you is mitochondrial DNA, which is only passed down from the mother. And so these genetic disorders, when we see them on a pedigree, we'll see that while both male and female offspring can have these genetic disorders and they will be seen in every generation, we see that only women or mothers are able to pass them down to their offspring. All right, I think that brings us to the end of this episode, Nick. So once again, this is Faye.
This is Nick.
And this has been Kreogs Over Coffee.
So guys, if you enjoyed the podcast, head over to iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, whatever your podcatcher is, give us a 5-star rating and review.
You can find us on social media on X at Kreogs Over Coffee1, on Facebook and Instagram at Kreogs Over Coffee. And if you want to donate to the show, go ahead and go over to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Kreogs Over Coffee.
You can find show notes for this episode and all of our previous episodes on our website, kreogsovercoffee.com.
And if you want to reach out to us, have a question about the show, have ideas for an episode or a correction for us, go ahead and email us, kreogsovercoffee@gmail.com.